Welcome to another Carlin and Lloyd Sports Show. I'm Robert Laidlaw.
I'm Sean Carlin.
Been a lot of sport happening lately, mate.
Been a lot happening this week. Happy birthday.
For sports?
For you.
Oh, yeah.
You had your birthday this week. Happy birthday.
Yeah, 21 again.
Yeah, okay. That's what happens when you get older. You forget things.
Well, look what you've got to look forward to.
Yeah, my birthday's not for a while, though, so, but that's okay.
Yeah, it was funny. I was telling someone the other day that that I was 64 and today, and they were saying to me, oh, happy birthday. I said, no, my birthday's tomorrow. Well, how come you're 64 today? And I said, because I'm 65 tomorrow. And then when I woke up,
they went, ha.
And when I woke up the day after my birthday, I said to my wife, I hope I'm not 66.
You're a funny man.
Not really.
Not.
But look, let's talk about Lauren Jackson, 41 years old.
Yeah, and that she is not 65, but she's 41, and she's so that's not, I mean, not old, but she's just been selected in the Opals team for the World Cup that's going to be here in Sydney. And so we talked about Lauren in another podcast a while ago because, yeah, and she obviously had retired a fair while ago. And she decided to make a comeback. She played in the NBL One competition for Albury Wodonga, which is her hometown, which is, I think, was a great story at the time. But she obviously played well, got in shape, and then she's decided to have a crack at the Opals again and been selected. So fabulous.
You know, you look at a lot of sports people and you look at their longevity in sport and how people retire and then come back. I mean, Michael Jordan did it for basketball. He retired, played baseball, then came back. So many of the top sports people, they retire, but they're still good enough to come back and play.
Well, obviously, and, you know, she has been working hard. She's been training really well and got her selection. So it's going to be wonderful for there's a number of new girls and the younger girls in the team that's making their first team. And so to have someone like Lauren Jackson with them, it's just going to be a wonderful experience for them. And of course, she brings such a presence to the team because she is, you know, I've said in some of our parts, she could be arguably the best basketballer we've ever produced.
From Australia.
And she is such a fierce competitor. I mean, like, you know, she helped us dominate women's basketball. They're now ranked number three still. So we've always been very, very good. But, geez, I mean, and it's in Australia too. So it's going to be what a great story, I think.
Well, you know, what we're talking about basketball and top level for the women. So, you see, Ellen Phillips, who's made a name for herself with Adelaide Crows, is now playing for Port Power.
She has, and they had their first game. Where was it? It was in Perth. They played.
Yes.
Yes.
Fremantle.
And they didn't quite get the win, which would have been a lovely start for the Port Adelaide girls, but they didn't quite get there. But, yeah, I mean, I think it's just Erin Phillips. The Phillips name is synonymous with Port Adelaide, isn't it? And so, obviously, if the Port Adelaide girls had started from the beginning, I'm sure she would have been there rather than the Crows. But, of course, she's just made a name for herself as a fabulous basketballer, world-class and now footballer.
Well, she's done something I don't think any man will ever do with the Crows and Power, and that's captain both teams.
That is an unusual thing, isn't it?
It is, but then again, we all knew she was a Port girl.
Yes, I think so. And obviously now that's got to the point where all clubs are represented by in the women's competition.
And she's no spring chicken either. What is she, about 36?
I don't know.
She's sort of getting on a bit, but she's
in great shape.
Yeah, yeah. She had some injury problems over the last couple of years, but obviously she's got over them.
Yes, and that's the reality of all sports people. You're putting your body under stress, and especially changing sport too. I mean, I think, you know, the playing Aussie rules has been a bit of an issue for injuries for some players. And it's, again, you think about footy as a sport, it's a very different impact on the body, isn't it? And I think we've seen some issues with knees and so on, but people are slowly getting on top of that as there's more preparation and better conditioning and obviously more opportunity to play.
Talking about retirements, of course, Ash Barty retired from tennis and she's in the prime of her career. She could have kept going.
Well, I mean, that's the thing, isn't it? Like, some people just keep going and like Lauren Jackson's come back and some people choose to say, hey, I'm ready to move on. I'm at the top of my game, and I'm done. But again, Ash Barty, who knows? Like, she is such a talented sports person.
She could come back.
She could come back and do anything. She might. Who knows? I mean, she was playing golf. Well, she's playing cricket, football, tennis.
Well, the talk is she's got to go back to golf. But I mean, it was football last year. Now it's golf. So who knows?
Well, speculation is a wonderful thing.
Well, while we're talking tennis, Serena Williams, hasn't she been a fantastic player for the USA over the last 20-odd years?
Well, 23 Grand Slams, which is pretty impressive, isn't it? And, is she the best, people have a go at me for this. I was going to say best female tennis player ever, but some people would say best tennis player ever.
Well, it's hard to say because if we're going to look at females, I mean, Margaret Court was absolutely wonderful as a player, and Martina Navratilova, she was pretty good.
Yeah, and this is always the thing, isn't it? Trying to compare players from different generations, I think, is you can't get to a conclusion, but she's clearly one of the greatest, and deciding to retire at the US Open, which is a fitting way to finish.
It was really good. She was ranked 605, and in the second round match, she beat the second-ranked player, Anett Kontaveit.
Yes, an Estonian player. So ranked number two.
Yeah, in the tournament, yeah.
Yeah. And again, I've seen a little bit of the stuff on news, etc., and the crowds are just loving it, aren't they? They're going crazy. So, you know, would it be a fairy tale? So I don't think it matters, does it? Because she's playing in front of her home crowd. They're loving it. They're right behind her. And so she's going to have great memories from her last tournament. And she's also teamed up with her sister in the doubles. So,
fairy tale ending. Yeah.
Again, sometimes you get lucky like that.
You kind of hope she wins the doubles, don't you?
Well, if they can have success, that would just be, again, it's meant to be.
You know, while you're talking about the US Open, what about Nick Kyrgios? He complained about the smell of marijuana at the US Open while he's playing his game. I wonder if it's his stub that he put out.
I don't know if where are they playing? New York?
I think so. Flushing Meadows normally.
I don't know if it's because marijuana is legal in many states in America. So I don't think there's anything wrong with that, is there? But he also accused that woman of being drunk at Wimbledon. And so she's now, she's suing him, I think.
Wow.
For that. So because that obviously made big headlines and. Yeah, so, if people are out there having a bit of a smoke up there, yeah, they're enjoying the tennis.
I know when I went to the Adelaide Oval to watch Central District play the Crows, and I was coming across the bridge and I could smell it quite a lot sort of coming through. So obviously
I don't know what it smells like, so I wouldn't know. But, it could be vaping because vaping, there's a lot of vaping going on, and that has lots of different fruity smells, apparently.
Okay.
That I love Formula One.
Yeah.
And they've just finished the summer break. They came back and raced in Belgium at the Spa track, which is a fabulous track. But the big news that was going on prior to the break is that
Daniel Ricciardo?
Well, Daniel Ricciardo has been in the news, obviously, and he made the switch from Red Bull to Renault, and then if you remember, he jumped from Renault early to go to McLaren, who, of course, is a big name in Formula One, and there was a lot of positivity about that. But to be honest, he has struggled in the McLaren car, and so there's been mounting pressure, but lots of speculation prior to the summer break and during the summer break, but he came out on Instagram and announced that he will be leaving McLaren at the end of the season. So that was big news for him. And at this stage, he does not have a drive. But the other interesting thing was Oscar Piastri, who is another Australian who hasn't yet raced in Formula One, rookie, seemingly has done the dirty on Alpine, which was Renault, and has actually been signed by McLaren. So it seems, but it hasn't come out fully yet, that Ricciardo has been shafted by another Australian.
Wow.
And Mark Webber, remember him?
Yes.
He is actually Piastri's manager.
Ah.
So a little bit miffed. Two Australians undermining another one, which is a bit disappointing.
It's a bit like 1995, 96 when Melbourne pinched the Grand Prix from Adelaide.
Oh, that's terrible.
I was talking to someone about that the other day. They we just happened to be talking about the Beatles, and I was asked, have I ever seen any of the Beatles live? And I said, yeah, I saw George Harrison. He used to come to the Grand Prix, so I saw him walking down Rundle Street.
Well, it was a big thing, wasn't it? I mean, the V8s are coming back at the end of this year, which is wonderful, but the Grand Prix certainly brought Adelaide alive, didn't it? And we had all those, I mean, and that's Formula One for you. That's, it's all that star-studded type of people that love to come. The celebrities are all around the place. So it's that sort of, it's that really the top tier, isn't it?
You know, changing the subject to golf. Now, I remember when Cameron Smith won the British Open at St Andrews, and someone asked him the question about whether he's going to jump to the Saudi-backed live golf. And he said, that's not the type of question you ask
now. He said, I've just won the British Open, and you're asking me that question. I think he found that a little bit rude.
Well, he's jumped now.
Yeah, and there's been, that's been an ongoing thing, hasn't it? And he, like, it seemed the writing was on the wall. People, I mean, again, there's always speculation out there in any form of media when any, I guess, sport is such a big business, isn't it? But obviously they got a sniff of things back then, and that's been ongoing. Players have been getting recruited by this Saudi-backed group. That Greg Norman is the CEO, yeah?
Yeah, yeah, another Australian.
What do you know about this golf group? I don't know. I mean, I'm not a fan. Yeah.
Live. It's actually Roman numerals 54. And of course, 54 is shooting a birdie on every hole in a four round tournament, 72 holes. Or what they're doing is three rounds, which is 54 holes. So that's where they got the 54 from.
I wasn't sure what it meant, but now you've clarified. Thank you.
So, I had no idea until I looked it up.
Yeah, so anyway, so this is like a breakaway group, isn't it? Now, if they leave and they sign up with this group, does that mean they can't compete in the PGA stuff?
At this stage, they're not being invited to them.
Okay.
But how can you have majors without the best players?
I know, that's going to be interesting, isn't it? And whether at some point, I mean, because like if we look at the cricket, I don't know if it's the same sort of deal, but you've got the Indian Premier League, IPL, of course, which is great money earner for players, isn't it? So it's a real reward for their hard work and their talent that they've had over the years, and they get rewarded for that skill, which is, I think, is a wonderful thing. But they could still play for their country, can't they?
Yeah, of course.
So I wonder whether at some point they'll sort of come to some agreement where...
Well, you know, I remember the cricket when they, in the late 70s, where they sort of broke away and, you know, oh, we're not going to have to deal with... those cricketers and stuff, but it all sorted itself out for a better deal for everyone.
Yeah, and that would be interesting to see how it works. But obviously there's a lot of money in golf, isn't there? I mean, they play for big money. So obviously around the world there's it's got a great following and obviously a big sponsorship as well.
You know, see Alistair Clarkson, he's coaching North Melbourne. Wow.
North Melbourne supporters. I mean, they finally got something to be happy. As a couple of North Melbourne supporters, well, Mal Bennett, who we've spoken to, Paralympian a few times, and he is up and about. I'll tell you what, when Alistair Clarkson got her name, it was a big day for them.
Well, he was a North Melbourne player back
in
the day.
Yes, he was.
And, of course, probably his greatest claim to fame is he coached Central District to a
player. Right, and that's obviously led him to the success he's had today.
2001, and then he got picked up with Hawthorn, but he brought along a Central District boy and Stuart Jew, who helped win in the 2008 AFL Grand Final with Hawthorn, and off he went.
Well, it's going to be interesting, isn't it? Because he's obviously had very good success as a coach, and you know, people sort of look to him as one of the best coaches going around. So when he did leave Hawthorn, there's been again lots of speculation about where he might end up, but I imagine. I mean, North Melbourne have had a bit of a horror run for a while now, haven't they? So they're going to be rebuilding now, and obviously getting that calibre of coach is something that they'll be pretty happy about.
It's going to be a real test for him, but the man's, you know, he's a genius what he's done with Hawthorn, and obviously his time has sort of passed with that club. And you look at the Neil Curlys and these types of people, even Foss Williams. I mean, Foss Williams coached other clubs before he went to Port Adelaide, West Adelaide was involved there, and Neil Curley, obviously, from west to south to Glenelg, et cetera. Even Jack Odie coached North to Flags before he burnt out and went to Sturt. So it's, you know, the greatest coaches tend to switch from one club to another club to continue their success.
Yeah, and it doesn't always work out, does it? But I mean, time's going to tell now, isn't it? Can he recruit the right players? He's obviously recruiting people around him who he wants, and so.
Well, good luck to him.
Yeah, good luck to North Melbourne. Let's hope they get off the bottom of the ladder. Maybe it would be Crows instead of them.
Well, we'll just have to wait and see. But or it could be Port Power.
It could be.
Who knows? Anyway, on that note, so into another Carlin Laid Sports Show. I'm Robert Laidlaw.
I'm Sean Carlin.